In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Peter and Paul, the two great apostles. The topic of this homily is, "My grace is sufficient for you," the words of the Lord to St. Paul. Today again, celebrating the feast of St. Peter and Paul, the fisherman and the Pharisee. Two pillars of the church, patrons of our archdiocese. St. Peter, the chief apostle among the 12, and St. Paul called through his repentance to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Both overcame their stumbling and sin, Peter's denial of Christ, and Paul his blasphemy and the persecution of the church. So the power of their ministry is revealed in the grace of God. In reviewing this, let us look at some of the verses we encounter in these texts that will open the door a little bit for us to understand the grace of God and its importance in our life. So first, we hear the words of St. Peter's response to the Lord, "Who do you say that I am?" He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In this proclamation, St. Peter is proclaiming He's the coming one. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. He's come in the flesh. He's an incarnate one. He's the God-man that has come to save our souls and all of mankind. So, we see this in these words, the importance of understanding the depth of what Peter saw. He saw God incarnate, who would unite us through his death and resurrection to the Father, being separated by disobedience. The fall of Adam and Eve, we inherited through that our fallen nature. And we have been delivered by that from our Lord, the Son of the living God. We're freed from corruption. In our union with him and in his glorified humanity, we are lived now by the Spirit, not by the law. It's interesting, this week I was reading all through Romans, Paul's discussion back and forth with, we live by the flesh, we live by the law, or do we live in the Spirit? And we are now given by the grace of God this opportunity to live by the Spirit, not by the law. Not the law is bad, but we live under the law. St. Paul's words, and I think we all heard these, "The things I want to do, I don't do. Things I do, I don't, though that I don't want to do, I do them." So we see this kind of contrariness when we're under the law. The law is a school teacher. It's a guide to us to that which is good and right. But if we're trying to be saved by the law, we cannot do that. Only saved by the Spirit. That's why this is so important. "You are Christ, the Son of the living God, who's come to give me an opportunity to live by the Spirit, not by the law." I'm preaching a little bit here. What is happening here? So, we're granted everlasting life through this union with Christ. Death is no longer an enemy. It's passage to heaven. All this is granted to us by our loving Lord, who suffered and died, rose again, and unites us to himself through holy baptism. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Another comment from St. Paul, we hear these beautiful words, "My grace is sufficient for you." So St. John of Kronstadt asks the question, what is grace? And of course, he's going to answer it. Now listen to this. "It's the blessed power of God given to man who believes and has been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is the power that cleanses. Grace is the power that hallows. Grace is the power that enlightens, that helps us to do good, withdraws us from evil, fronts and encourages us in misfortune and sorrows and in sickness. that it is a pledge of everlasting blessing prepared in heaven for the chosen of God. This is grace. St. Nikolai goes on a little bit further to explain it, and I think this is really powerful and most important for us to understand. Grace is an all-inclusive weapon. It's a sword against the enemy. Grace is stronger than all opposition, than all assaults, than all powers of darkness. Why is that? He explains it. Grace is invincible and victorious always. Grace is God in us. Grace is the kingdom of God in us. We have a faith against which nothing can be done. Be really encouraged by that. A grace that conquers every enemy because it's God in you. It's the kingdom of God in you. And remember when becoming Orthodox and Protestant upbringing, grace was an idea. Grace was kind of an idea. To say unmerited favor. God is gracious to us. God blesses us. But it was more of an idea. It didn't have a kind of a substance. Now we see it's substantial. Grace is a substantial reality. Grace is God in you. You can turn and find it and live in it. Invincible. Conquers all enemies. So thanks be to God that He has come to give us this grace, that we may live in it and be victorious against every enemy by it. Then these other words from St. Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, I am so full of pride and self-reliance, especially when I'm doing well. So afflictions come and they help us. Father Nicholas, you're telling afflictions are good? I'll read this to you. It's very good. So afflictions can be, if we let them, be a great teacher. St. John of Kronstadt. They show us our weaknesses, our vices, our needs to repent. They cleanse our soul. They sober it. They bring down grace. Afflictions bring down grace. They soften the hard heart. They inspire us and strengthen us in faith, hope, and virtue. They bring down grace. If we let them, the difficulties of life bring down the grace of God. God is present with us in these struggles. You know, it's interesting. I've been given this advice many times when I've gone to my spiritual father and complained about circumstances that are difficult, he says, God's blessing you. You're a lucky man. No, you didn't hear me, Father. You didn't hear me. No, you're a lucky man because God's with you in this. Very powerful, very important. So I'd give that advice to other people, and I know it kind of shocks them. It's because it shocked me. You know, they come, and in a sense, we need to be sympathetic to those that are struggling, absolutely. But those struggles are salvific. They are saving the person's body and soul. We need to understand that and hold them up in prayer. Afflictions, when they come, we need to overcome perhaps initial reactions of sadness, disappointment, or even anger. We flee complaining. I'm talking to myself. Flee complaining. Turn in and touch the Lord, for He's touching you. God's visiting you. Now, I remember a story of Father Zachariah, a great monk in Essex, England, St. John the Baptist Monastery there, the blessed home of St. Sophroni. who was a great disciple of St. Silwan. So Father Zacharias is telling a story. We had opportunity to hear him many times in the clergy. And he said, he's such a humble man. He said he gave advice. This lady came to him who had a bad cancer and was struggling. And he said to her, you know, he said, every time I feel pain, I'm discouraged, I feel like I'm losing my faith. He said, well, every time you feel pain or discouragement, just say, glory to thee, O God, glory to thee. Glory to thee, O God, glory to thee. And then he said, when she left, I said, oh, Lord, please, I hope that's okay. I hope it works out. Because it's like, this lady was really suffering. I hope I gave her some advice that actually was positive and helped her. She said 6 months later, he got a call from her. She was in the hospital. And she was passing as was expected. And he walked, a little nervous, walking into the room. How did this advice work out? And he said he walked in. Her face was glowing. He said, Father, that advice you gave me, glory to thee, O God, glory to thee, when I started feeling pain or struggle, I felt the presence of God. And it's lifted me up all these many months. I feel blessed. I feel blessed. He said, I feel the presence of God all the time. In fact, he's over the corner in my room waiting for me. He said, the only thing I don't like is people visiting me. Because they disturb my prayer. So he got up and left very quickly. No, I don't know what he did. But see, that's a very powerful thing. Afflictions bring grace. Afflictions bring us closer to God. They're not bad things. We have an opportunity to touch God in a way we cannot do that in any other way. It can't be done in any other way. Afflictions sometimes are the only way we can get intimate in that way with our Lord. So one last verse that will help us. St. Paul says, I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. I boast in my infirmities. So St. James says in his epistle, chapter 1, second verse, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's like joy, trials? This thing fitting together? Joy, trial? Why? He gives us the answer. Knowing that these various trials are testing your faith and that faith produces patience. This test will produce patience. And then he goes on to explain very powerfully, but let patience have its perfect work. You need to sit there and be with God in the struggle. Be patient with God in the struggle that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. In this testing of our faith, we find that, one, God loves us. He gave up his life for us. We hear the words, and we should listen to them very intimately because they're very personal. Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Drink of this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This is our He has come to, he suffered so that when we suffer, he can be with us in our suffering because he knows it. God is with us, beloved, in that time. He says, I will always be with you to the close of the age. Whether we feel his presence or not, he's with us. Whether we feel his presence or not, he is with us. And he works all things for good. We need to understand that. He's working to perfect us. He's working to complete us, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So, beloved, as we continue the feast of St. Peter and Paul, let us be mindful and grateful that the grace of God is sufficient. For He is with us. He's our strength. He's our boast. He's our salvation. Amen.